Thank you for listening to the Die Hard Dan podcast presented by Detroit Lions on the Prowl on the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network. Some said we would go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here. Well, we got some changes in Allen Park. Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Dan podcast, there's some new guys in town. Special guest co-host Michael Jones of OMG It's Lions Talk podcast will be joining me to discuss the new regime in Allen Park, and we look at some candidates for the offensive coordinator. All of this and much more coming up right now on the Die Hard Dan podcast presented by Detroit Lions on the Prowl. Watch out. Here comes that roar. What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to the Die Hard Dan podcast presented by Detroit Lions on the Prowl on the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network. Now, today is a special day. My man, Shiny J, couldn't make it in. He had to work, but I have a special guest host. It's my man, Michael Jones from OMG It's Lions Talk. What's up, Mike?
What's up, man? What's good? It's a good day to be a Lions fan, man. It feels good again, man. It is.
Hey, thank you for joining us. You know, we appreciate it. Before we get this thing started, hey, thank you for checking us out right here on the Die Hard Dan podcast presented by Detroit Lions on the Prowl. If you're watching on YouTube or on Facebook, like the video, share the videos, comment on the videos. If you're watching us on Facebook, you know, go ahead and share it with your friends. If you're listening on one of the podcast networks, thank you for the download. We really appreciate you. Now, let's do what we always do at this time. I'm going to tell you something good. And we had a couple of things for us to tell you something good about the Lions. The first thing is, you know, we had the three hires. You had Dan Campbell, you had Brad Holmes, and then we had Aaron Glenn, who's going to be our defensive coordinator. So that's some good things. So they finally hired the head coach and GM. And another thing is the Lions had three players this week named to the Pro Football Writers All-NFC team, which is Mr. Foxy himself, the punter, Jack Fox, who had a phenomenal season, the Hawk, TJ Hawkinson, and one of the most underrated return men in the game right now, Mr. Jamal Agnew. So what do you think about those three players being named to the All-NFC team by the Pro Football Writers Association?
I think the first two, Fox and Hawkinson, I think those were shoo-ins. But I think a guy that surprises a lot of people and people really forget about is Jamal Agnew. Mm-hmm. They forget about his explosiveness and how he can go 0 to 100 real quick. So
yeah, that's definitely one thing with him. He gets it done. People really they really forget about Jamal Agnew. They really don't, you know, realize how good of a player that he is. He does some big things in that in the game right now for the Lions. You know, they kind of crapped on him a couple years ago. You remember he had all those fumbles at the beginning of last year, but he still had a decent year in the return game. You know, he's one of those guys people kick away from. He's just that type of player. But, you know, that is telling me something good this week. You know, shout out to those players. They did a really good job this season. So let's
salute.
Definitely salute those guys. Now, let's look at some how we do it. We go on the ball. And this week, we're going to do things a little differently. On the ball is usually about the offense. But this is the offseason. And we're going to talk about the hires that the Lions made. We're going to go a little bit in depth on these guys that we hired. Now, first up, we're going to look at Brad Holmes. Let's kind of look at who he is. Okay, Brad Holmes, his career highlights for the 41-year-old former scout. He was the Rams PR intern in 2003. In 2004, he was a scouting assistant for the Rams. He worked his way up through the system with various scouting roles from 05 to 2012. Before he took over in 2013 as their director of college scouting. So with him, I mean, you have a guy who knows how to really look at talent at the college position. He likes that draft. So think of some of the guys he drafted. He helped scout like Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp and all those guys out there that make that team tick out there with the Rams. He's a North Carolina A&T grad. He is the nephew of former Lions player Luther Bradley. So, I mean, he's one of those people. He's a relative, but not his family. If you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like family's
right.
You care about, you get along with, you see him all the time. A relative is somebody you just kind of related to by blood. I mean, you just kind of, you have that DNA thing. But he is a he's a relative that became family. So what do you think about the Brad Holmes hire, my man?
I like it, man. And, you know, I don't want it to sound typical, like one of those yes men who just love everything the Lions do. Mm-hmm. We know there's a lot of those out there. And,
it's a lot of those.
But, right. But if you just look at it from a standpoint of he knows how to evaluate college talent.
Yeah.
Okay. And one thing that we're going to have to do in Detroit is we're going to have to draft well, because no free agents want to come here right now. So while the head coach is changing the culture from an attitude and standpoint, the player, quality of players is going to have to come from the draft.
Yeah.
And he can pick the players that fit the system. He does a good job of fitting players for certain schemes out of college. And I'm good with that, man. Like, that's the most important thing right now in a GM. So,
and I like the fact that he said he's not afraid to make bold moves either. You know, like if you look at LA, those Rams haven't had a first round pick in years. I mean, like,
they
know how to draft back, you know, trade out of the first round, get good draft picks. And, you know, of course, we know they mortgage a lot of their future with the Sam Bradford deal. That was crazy. But they know how to get talent. And he's part of that process. So let's look at him. I mean, he's an analytic guy. He went to North Carolina A&T State. You know, he played football down there, but he likes analytics. But it's not the end all be all. So it's not like where he just relies on analytics. He has the eye test.
Right.
And he likes the intangibles. That's one thing he said about quarterback Matthew Stafford. He loves his intangibles. Now, I know a lot of people want to get rid of Matthew Stafford or want him to be gone. And he didn't say he was going to keep Matthew Stafford. But that's one thing that he likes in players. And he likes their intangibles. He likes players that are competitive. And that he likes players that are explosive. So he likes things in players. You can see it where he really takes a holistic approach to his evaluating talent. So it's not just about one thing or the other with him. It's the player as a whole. And they have to be able to pass the eye test. And we're going to talk about that when we talk about the next guy after we Holmes today. But, you know, I like Holmes. I like the hire. And I was kind of a question mark a little bit, but when actually you hear him speak and, you know, things he had to say, now I would have to agree with the head coach that spoke today. You know, we didn't heard it all before, you know, so like the song said, we heard it all before. But you know, it's something about, you know, when someone tells you things and, you know, but the way he said things was a different approach than most of the people I've heard, especially the Lions general manager we've had the last couple of years. You know, he wasn't really arrogant, and he wasn't really like, you know, making a whole bunch of, you know, promises. All he said was, "We're gonna do what we're gonna do." That's what he said, pretty much. And
right.
You know, we only could do what we can do.
I agree.
So I like that hire. I like Holmes, but the next guy we're gonna look at right now. My man tore it up today in his introductory press conference. Let's look at Dan Campbell. Who is Dan Campbell? You know, he was a former NFL tight end. He's 44 years old. He played for in the league from 99 to 2009. And he was part of the Lions from 06 to 08. He was part of that 0-16 season back in 08. And he became a coaching intern back in the early 2000s. And then he went to the Dolphins in 2011 and became a tight end coach from 2011 to 2015. He was their interim coach at the end of that season as well in 2015. He's been with the Saints since 2016 as their assistant head coach and tight end coach. My man really put the hammer down. I thought he was going to tackle
something. Man, he's going to bite your knees off, man. You hear him talk?
He said, hey, we going to bite you. If you knock us down, we're going to bite your kneecaps off.
Man
was in there dropping some S-bombs. Like that in this show, but I can say what he said, this one word, man. He said, I know y'all heard that shit before. He's right, but he's played in Detroit, so he knows how the fans get down in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like how he came in. I was like, man, this dude... I mean, he gonna chest bump somebody if they were sitting in the room. Them reporters are lucky. He was gonna chest bump Rod Wood. He'll knock him out of his suit or something.
He
brings an energy we haven't seen in Detroit. I would believe since Jim Schwartz, he brings that type of energy, and it's even more kind of like infectious. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can see him doing drills with the players. I mean, he's just a big, burly dude. What do they call him? That dude from the Big Lebowski? I mean, he just...
Right.
So what do you think about his press conference first before we really get into him as a
coach? Man, that was the best press conference I think I've ever seen from any head coach ever. In the history of football, I'm not playing. That's just not saying that because he's gonna be the coach of my team. That's just saying that because, man, I never seen somebody speak with so much passion. Like, he speak with passion. You could tell, like, that's why he kept cussing. Because you know what I'm saying? And I could tell he didn't mean to, but he was just speaking what was on his mind, man. And that just get me to, that let you know right now, his team is going to be nasty.
Yeah.
And oh, man, I'm excited.
I mean, you can tell. I mean, and he was straight up with us. He said, you know, I'm more excited about the people on the offense than I am the defense. And that tells you where he's focused on what he needs to really improve on. He knows the defense needs work. And, you know, he could have came in there. He said he wasn't going to sugarcoat it. He wasn't going to promise no wins. He said he's going to promise. He's going to have a tough team that's going to scrap and fight to the end. And again, man, that meme is making the rounds today. Where we're gonna bite your kneecaps off. I mean, I've seen it all over
ESPN,
NFL Network. I mean, he had a very infectious. That thing right there set some people on fire. I mean, even Tori Petri. If you know who Tori Petri is, she's the multimedia journalist for the Lions. And she used to play for the Detroit Dark Angels, the women's football league.
Okay.
And she said she felt like she wanted to strap it up. She posted a picture of her and her helmet after the
right.
Like, she was ready to go and run through a
man. I'm telling you, that's how my cousin Ali, man. My cousin Ali, man, I was like letting him. I'm like, did you hear the interview? And he's like, nah, I didn't see it. So I played it for him. I was at work. I played it for him. And excuse my language. He's like, hell yeah. He's like, no, I'm going to put my cleats on right now. I'm like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, he get it.
I mean, he did it. Now, let's kind of look at, you know, and he was up front. You know, he said he struggled as a head coach. When he was the interim head coach down in Miami, but he said he wasn't ready. He said he knew he wasn't ready for it. He said he figured out, you know, okay, I wasn't ready at the time. And he went down there under Sean Payton down there in the Saints. So he kind of learned how to be a head coach under that regime down there in New Orleans, where he was the assistant head coach. So it was one of those things where he was like, he was there in it. You know, he recognizes his mistakes as an interim head coach when he was in Miami, and he's willing to fix those things in Detroit.
Right. But I mean, that being said, he was 5-7.
Yeah.
So he wasn't that bad his first go round for a coaching job he wasn't ready for.
Yeah, that's very true. And plus with that division where, you know, you're looking at the AFC East where you had, you know, Buffalo, and then you had definitely the New England Patriots up in there. So, you know, he had a tough division to deal with as an interim head coach his first year in the first season in the NFL as a head coach. But he tells the truth. He's upfront, and he ain't going to sugarcoat it for you. I mean, that's why I'm telling you, I'm already know it's going to be some fines for him for some of the stuff that the refs do to the Lions. I can already see it. It's going to be some fines. He going to, you know, he going to say something going to happen. He going to be like, say something off the wall or just irritated, pissed off, and go say something. He might powerbomb one of the refs. I mean,
right, yeah. For real. I mean, like, for real. If that thing what Jamie Collins did to the refs is what he did when he bumped them. Okay. Yeah,
okay.
Y'all strap on your seatbelt.
Yeah, this guy, what my man Marshawn Lynch say, he bought that action, boss. So I mean that's what you see. This right. guy. But right. I like the hire. I really wasn't sold at first, you know, like, oh, and people say he's, you know, about the X's and O's. He was like, I don't know about all that. You know, you tell me your scheme. We're going to make sure we get our best player on your worst player. We're going to exploit matchups. And if we got to do that the whole game, if we got to run the ball 10 times because they can't stop it, we're going to run the ball 10 times because they can't stop it. I mean, that's the type of stuff that you look at. You know, he's willing to make adjustments. And that's something that we missed in the last regime. They kind of had the system's going to work. We're going to keep doing the same thing over and over again because it's going to work because it's the system. No, that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You know what I'm saying? So I really like the hire. We'll get into a little bit more in detail in a little bit. But another thing that was announced today, and he said it in the press conference that he was looking at bringing in New Orleans defensive back coach Aaron Glenn as his defensive coordinator. Now, even Josina Anderson a couple of days ago said that it wasn't a lock for Aaron Glenn. However, she reached out today again and said that Aaron Glenn reached back out to her. He said he didn't. He went ahead and told a couple other teams, one of them being the Bears, that he was going to take the job in Detroit. And I'm so happy that we didn't have to deal with him going down to Chicago because Chuck Pagano decided to retire. So let's kind of look at him before we really get into it. Now, he's a 48-year-old former NFL cornerback, is Aaron Glenn. He played for various teams, including the Jets, the Saints, and most of his career where he stood out was at the Houston Texans, and that was from 94 to 2010. He was a Jets personnel scout from 2012 to 2013. He was the Browns assistant defensive backs coach from 2014 to 2015. And he was the Saints DB coach from 2016 to 2020. Now, that's kind of like the same kind of Corey Unlin came into defensive coordinator as a defensive back coach. But you look at the defense. He was kind of dealt a raw deal, I would say. Unlin, he didn't have the personnel that he wanted to run his defense. He came from that wide 9-4-3 defense down in Philadelphia to come up to that 3-4 hybrid crap that Patricia never ran. But Aaron Glenn's coming from a 4-3 style down there in the Saints, and the Saints had a really good defense. So I really just wanted to see what kind of defense he's going to build under Dan Campbell. You know, they have some ties. You know, people, you know, they went to the same college, not at the same time per se, but they're both Texas A&M Aggies. So that's kind of a little bit of background on him. I mean, you know, you look at him, he's a former defensive player. So, you know, he played in the league, and one of the weak spots at the Lions definitely was our defensive backfield. And I hope that he can fix that. What do you think about Aaron Glenn coming in as the new defensive coordinator?
Okay. Well, if you come from New Orleans Saints, then you on to something. I think that's what I was saying. But I was kind of questioning it at first, you know, much like Dan Campbell, I questioned it at first, and then but I started to do my research, and you know, these guys are young, enthusiastic, and they ready to go. Like, you know, it might be their first coordinator and first head coaching job, but you can see the hunger that's there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the number one thing, man. That hunger got to be there.
Yeah.
That definitely. Want to, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of coaches come here and they're like, well, I mean, if I do good, I do good. If I don't, I don't. Oh, well. But I think they just have this knowledge that we expect something out of y'all.
Yep.
And I think we, as the fans, put pressure on people. And I think that's good. I think that's good. Because a long time, fans didn't apply no pressure. So
yeah,
I'm happy with that.
Yeah. I think the fan base has really, really pushed, really Sheila for a hemp, like, you know, all season, you know, we were kind of like, you know, what's up? You know, you said all these things at the beginning of the year, Sheila, and you ain't really brought that action, you know, and it took a long time to do what she needed to do. I wish she would have fired Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn a lot earlier in the season, but you know, it is what it is now. But you look at how they did, went about the coaching and the GM search. You know, they went extensively. They went and did their homework. They had multiple people come in. If you look at when they hired Bob Quinn, I think they only had like 3 interviews during that whole time. And really the NFL really gave us, you know, here's a guy, you know, you want to look at, here's Bob Quinn. No, they did it. Did they due diligence and interview people. And you look at the teams that the players that these coaches and GM, where they coming from, these systems that they coming from. LA is a, you know, a perennial powerhouse out there in the NFC West. And you look at the Saints have really owned the NFC South for many, many years. I mean, even this year where they won the division, they may have lost that playoff game to the Bucks, but before that, they beat the Bucks twice. So, you know,
right. They're
coming from a systems where they know how to win, and these coaching trees know how to get their coaches that on their staff ready for success at the next level so they can go somewhere else and apply what they've learned as a coach to their next position, and they can go in and do bigger and better things at a higher position. That's one thing I've always said about Belichick, is that I really don't trust none of the coaches that come out of his coaching tree, just because of the fact that he controls everything. He controls everything, and he doesn't do a good job of teaching his coaches how to coach. The most successful, I mean, he doesn't. I mean, look at how Bill O'Brien destroyed the Texans. That was the Texans
with right.
a good team. You know,
yeah, they were.
Besides Flores, and he's really in his infancy down there in Miami, you name me one Belichick coaching tree person that came out of New England that had sustained success as a coach. Charlie Weiss couldn't do it. Romeo Cornell couldn't do it. I mean, none of those guys, Josh McDaniel, when he went out to Denver, couldn't do it. I mean, of course, we already know with Quinn Trisha, they couldn't do it, because guess
right. what?
Belichick has his footprint on all of that stuff. And I was so glad that we bringing in someone who doesn't have that stank on him of being under a coach like Belichick.
He said the stank.
Yeah.
That's okay. Okay.
I mean, that's just what it did. That's just what it is, because of the fact that you don't, you know, some leaders don't share their knowledge. They just tell you to do what they tell you to do. You do your job and that's it. Instead of, you know,
right.
you do your job and let me teach you how to do what I do. And you can see that these guys are coming from them systems where they learn from people, and they learn, and they learn from their mentors and the coaches above them to do what they do. So, I mean, that's one thing I'm definitely happy about, that we got some guys who are fiery, they're passionate. even they're looking at the homework, looking at Aaron Glenn, that dude's he's fiery. You know what I'm saying?
He's out there
yelling at the refs. You know, he's getting after his players. So I want him to bring that same fire. Because we got some young talent as far as, like, look at, you know, Amani Arroyo, and you look at, like, Tracy Walker. We got some young talent back in that need that
fire. Jeff Okuda he might develop into, you know, so,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, well, and did you – I mean, I don't know if you heard about the, you know, with him and his exiting press conference. I know our fans here on the show have heard about it. You know, he had the injury that he should have had surgery on before the season even started. He should have had
surgery back in the summer.
So here's my thing. How selfish are you as a coach that you have this guy playing and he's a first round draft pick? You have him playing, he's playing injured. You set the player up for failure, having him play injured all season.
Right. Yeah, that's no good, man. I'm not even gonna speak on that, man. That irritated me, man. But you know what though? Aaron Glenn was a baller, okay?
Oh, man, Aaron Glenn was a real baller.
41 picks and 8 touchdowns.
Oh yeah.
3 Pro Bowls. Man, he gonna teach Okuda. I have a feeling that if Patricia would have stayed and Corey Underland would have stayed, maybe Okuda wouldn't have turned out to be, mm-hmm. you know, he might have turned out to be like, he's an okay guy. But I think he's gonna make something out of Okuda and a Warrior. I don't think that maybe he might not be third pick overall value. He might not be that high quality, but he's gonna be a good player.
Yeah, he's gonna be a better player than what he showed last season. And I'm excited to see what he does with Awarier, because Awarier, he put some good stuff on film last year. He had a pretty good season. I liked Awarier.
Yeah.
Of course, he wasn't perfect. You know, he still made some young mistakes, but for the most part, he played pretty. He was our best cornerback all season. I mean,
right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. So thank you, everyone. If you're tuning in right now to the Die Hard Den podcast presented by Detroit Lions on the Prowl on the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network, thank you for checking us out right here. If you're watching the video on YouTube or Facebook, share the video, like the video, and comment on the video. All of these things we really appreciate. If you're listening to us on one of the podcast networks, thank you for the download. We appreciate your business. Now, if you have an Alexa-powered device, just say, "Hey, Alexa, play the Die Hard Den podcast," and we will be right there for you. Okay, now let's get into, on a Defend the Den note, let's look at some potential offensive coordinators. Okay, now first up, we have a guy that's been linked to the Lions by some reports out there in the media. First up, we have James Urban. Now, James Urban is the current Ravens quarterback coach. He was the offensive coordinator, offensive assistant, and quality control coach for the Eagles from 2007 to 2008. He was the Eagles quarterback coach from 2009 to 2010. That's back in the end of that Michael Vick era. He was the Bengals wide receiver coach from 2011 to 2017. And he was the Ravens quarterback coach, of course, you said right now. Now, here's the deal with that. I don't know if you checked this out, Mike, but if you looked at social media, there was some big eyes looking at him when he said he was interviewed by the Lions. And two of those guys was Marvin Jones Jr. and Muhammad Sanu, who he coached at Cincinnati. So you may be able to bring Marvin Jones back in for a discounted price to play for a coach that he likes and played for before. You know, and I would say Marvin Jones, I mean, the refs screwed him out of a 1,000-yard season, you know, calling that touchdown back in that last game of the season. That was just a terrible call. You know, with a touchdown. So, I mean, he would have had a 1,000-yard, you know, that took 30 yards off the board where he ended up at 978.
So That's tough.
You know, he'd have had 1,000 yards receiving this year. Marvin Jones really balled out this year. You know, he did his thing. You know, he had to play a lot of games where he was the number one guy and he was double and triple team. And he still made some really good catches and played some really good ball this year for the Lions.
I agree. He was off to a slow start, but he picked it up.
Yeah. But like James Urban is one of those guys. He's a hot name that's out there right now. What do you think about if he comes to the Lions?
I'll be honest with you. I know like a little bit about Urban, but you know, hey, if he comes from that Raven, anything to do with the Ravens, I'm for it. Okay. Yeah. Anything to bring that attitude, that smash mouth attitude from offense or defense, hey, bring him on.
Now, one thing I think that he can help bring is that run game that the Ravens have to Detroit, you know, that, you know, help build that run game, because that's one thing that Darrell Bevell tried to do here in Detroit, where he wasn't quite able to fix it. But we need to finally fix that run game. I mean, we want some smash mouth, hard nosed football. And I think, you know, we need somebody who comes from that kind of regime where they run the ball hard.
Right.
I would like somebody to do that. Now, let's look at the next guy who really is a kind of an eclectic guy. He's been around for a while, and that's Pep Hamilton. If you don't know who Pep Hamilton is, he's been around for quite a long time. His latest coaching stints have been, he was the assistant head coach and the quarterback coach in 2016 for the Cleveland Browns. You know, that's part of their start, their rebuild. Now, he was at University of Michigan. He was the assistant head coach and offensive coordinator from 2017 to 2018. Now, he was the head coach and general manager of the DC Defenders in the XFL last year, before they went under. And he helped develop Justin Herbert out there in LA, because he was the Chargers quarterback coach in 2020. So
right.
Some of the notes on him. What do you think about now? I know you know who Pep Hamilton is, because you know you're a Michigan fan like I am.
Oh yeah.
What do you think about if we get Pep Hamilton to come on as the offensive coordinator?
Man, he has a good background. His background is top notch. I wouldn't mind at all. You know, just that stint at Michigan leave a dirty taste in my mouth. But he definitely has the pedigree.
Yeah.
So if he's brought aboard, you know. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good. I would have liked, actually, if they would have kept Sean Ryan. I think Sean Ryan is good. He's a good quarterback coach. I think he could have been an offensive coordinator. He's good, but this guy is up there. He's definitely up there. I would not be mad or against it or have anything negative to say if they hired him. So,
okay. I feel you.
At all.
All right. Last guy we'll look at is one, Anthony Lynn. Okay. He's a potential offensive coordinator. Career highlights. He's with the Jets assistant head coach back in 2013 to 2014. He was the Bills assistant head coach and running back coach from 2015 to 2016. In 2016, he was the interim coach at the Bills as well, and he was the Chargers head coach from 2017 to 2020. Now, I'll give you my opinion right quick before I get to you, Matt. I think that one thing I always notice about his teams out there in L.A. and San Diego, where they always had a good running game, even if it was like Melvin Gordon or, you know, or the young guys that they have now on the team. He has a good grasp of the run game. And they had a pretty good passing game as well under Herbert, and even with Phillip Rivers. So I think he's, you know, I think he can bring some intangibles. He's a seasoned guy, and he can help the inexperienced new head coach, Dan Campbell, help run the team. So he's one of those guys where he'll have that kind of lineage of experience under, if he could, you know, help with the coaching under Dan Campbell as an offensive coordinator for the Lions. I do like Anthony Lynn. He's not, is he my top choice? But I think that he can bring something to the table that some of the other guys don't bring as far as experience goes.
Right, right. I'm not really too, like, I don't really know a lot about Anthony Lynn, I'm going to be honest. But definitely the fact that he's ran a team before is good. So, you know, I'll be done with it, man. I mean, you know, if you, anybody with head coaching experience is going to be, you know, it's going to be a good coordinator. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah. He wouldn't be my first choice, but I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yeah. You think about some of the coordinators that now that it's in the league right now that sometimes people aren't built to be head coaches. They're built to be coordinators, like Vance Joseph and Todd Bowles. You know, their schemes have had success. You know, like, look at Todd Bowles' defense down there in Tampa. You know, looking at his experience, you know, down there, he used his experience as a head coach and as a defensive-minded guy to really set the tone down there in Tampa for Bruce Arians' defense down there. So I like that. And that's, I think that's some of the thing that maybe Anthony Lynn can bring to the Lions. You know, I don't think everybody needs to be new, but you can have, you know, you need to have some experience. Look at Sean McVay out there at LA. You know, he had Wade Phillips was his defensive coordinator. You know what I'm saying? So he had someone with some experience, you know, when he was a young coach, and then he can, you know, build his organization as he had more experience. He can bring other guys in. You know, so
that
could be helpful for Dan Campbell going forward. So I think that he needs mm-hmm. to have at least one coordinator with some experience to kind of help him. You're already going to have a young, inexperienced guy in Aaron Glenn as the defensive coordinator. So you need to have at least a guy who has some experience on the offensive side of the ball to help run the team, you know, and maybe be an assistant head coach. Which, I mean, that experience. So, I mean, those are some of the guys. Those are three guys that really are standing out right now as potential offensive coordinators for the Lions. Of course, and we have had James Urban has already interviewed with the team. I don't know if he's scheduled to do an in-person interview. I know he did his interview virtually. So you will see that if the writing's going to be on the wall, if you kind of see him matriculating his way to Allen Park. All right. Again, I'd like to thank everyone for checking us out right here at the Die Hard Den podcast presented by Detroit Lions on the Prowl on the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network. If you're watching this video on YouTube or Facebook, like the video, share the video, comment on the video. We really appreciate that. If you're listening on one of the podcast platforms, hey, thanks for the download. We appreciate it. Now, let's get your final thoughts on the Lions with these new hires over the last few days, Mike. Mike? Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had it on mute, man. My bad. I was talking the whole time.
Okay, go ahead. So, give me your final thoughts on the hires that we had over the last few days.
You know, my original thoughts were, man, we couldn't have got Marvin Lewis. you know, we couldn't have got him. But then, you know, as I started doing a little background research, and then after that press conference today, man, look, man, I want to play for him. I'm ready right now.
Yeah.
So and you know, and Brad Holmes, he has his eye on college and can scout the talent better than anybody. So with those, I'm happy, man. It's still out on Aaron Glenn. I'm sure he can. I'm sure he comes from, you know, the Saints. So he brings knowledge, and, you know, he's a player, so he can help it in that sense. So overall, man, I'm happy. I'm happy with it. I would give the Lions a solid B+. You know, and their coaching. You know, that can easily go up or down depending on who they make the offensive coordinator, you know. So but yeah, man, I'm happy about the Lions, man. So it's good. It's all good, man.
Yep, I'm happy too. I would say I was excited when I heard Bram Holmes speak the other day. He's a smart, intelligent guy. He's had, you know, he has his pulse on what's going on in the league right now. And you look at some of the teams he helped build out there in LA. I like the way he does things. Campbell, my man, did his thing. I mean, I thought I was watching the WWE or something like that. Watching that press conference. I mean, like, right. Like I said, I think he would have chest bumped Rod Wood out of his suit if he was able to, with, you know, if they didn't have the COVID-19 protocols. If he had those reporters in the room, man, someone would have got tackled at that, in that thing. So I just think that he's a fiery coach. I think he's gonna have Detroit. He wants to bring a nasty, tough mentality to Detroit on both sides of the ball. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, and hopefully Glenn can help rebuild that defense that was just shaky. And we want transparency, and I think we're going to get that from Dan Campbell going forward. So, hey, man, I really appreciate you coming on today to really talk about these new hires, man, and appreciate you stepping in for my man, Shawnee J, who couldn't make it in tonight. He has some, you know, other engagements at work, so I really appreciate that, man. So tell the people how they can find you and your show.
Oh yeah, you can find me at OMG's Lions Talk on YouTube, and on Instagram, Twitter. I'm gonna get back to, you know, to some steadily posts, man. In the off season, I'm gonna regroup and I'm gonna bring you some content that I think y'all like, man. So just be on the lookout, OMG's Lions Talk on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm gonna come at you.
All right. Thanks again, my man. You know, y'all can find the Die Hard DM podcast. You know, you can find us on Twitter at Die Hard DM Posse 1, on Facebook at Die Hard DM podcast, over on YouTube, Die Hard DM podcast. And you now our new home, we're over on Pinecast. You can find our show under the Detroit Lions on the Prowl banner over on Belly Up Sports. So if you click their banner over there and you look at their shows, you're going to see where we are, our new home, are over there on bellyupsports.com. And you can go over there and check out some content. They have a myriad of different podcasts. Whatever your taste is, you can go over there and find it. You got NFL, you got basketball, you got NBA, you got college over there. And then you have some hard-hitting articles written by outstanding journalists over there on Belly Up Sports Network. So check it out, bellyupsports.com. So for me, you can find your boy Curt Steele on social media at Curtis Steele 14. That's CURTISSTEELE on Instagram as well. The same at Curtis Steele 14. We thank you again for checking us out right here on the Die Hard DM podcast, presented by Detroit Lions on the Prowl. I got one thing I need you to do for me before I get out of here. Whatever you do in life, you got to boss up, ball out, and be the best version of you that you can be. For my man, Mike Jones, this is Kurt Steele, and I will holler at you.